serial entrepreneur.
Hello and welcome back to the Serial Entrepreneur podcast. As usual, I am your host, Anna, editor at Startups Magazine. And today I am super excited to introduce my lovely guest, and that is Amanda Perry, founder of Soup Agency, an e-commerce agency, and many more talents that we are going to explore. So Amanda, thank you so much for joining me today. How are you on this sunny day?
I'm good. I'm in Sheffield though. It's not very sunny, so I'm jealous of wherever you are. It's a bit grey here.
I am in sunny Kent, but I actually went to university in Sheffield Hallam.
Yeah, it's unusually grey, which is not great. It has been lovely weather, so hopefully the sun will come out later.
Yeah, hopefully. Fingers crossed. What a great city.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah, it is, definitely.
Well, as it is the Serial Entrepreneur podcast, we like to ask all of our guests, just to start with, what is your favourite breakfast cereal, Amanda, and why?
Testing questions to begin with. It is actually, when I knew you were going to ask me this, I thought, when was the last time I ate breakfast? I don't tend to have breakfast, which I know is nothing to be proud of, but I would say if I had to go for one, it would probably have to be granola. I love granola. I think granola you can have at like, it's kind of an all day thing, isn't it? You can have, I like a bowl of granola at night. I guess I'm not into the like really sugary kind of brightly coloured box things, but yeah, bit of granola, even though it's just as bad for you, is I love.
It looks healthier and they claim exactly. It's healthier, so yeah. Solid choice.
Yeah, I think so.
Amazing. Well, now we all know about your cereal preference and breakfast preference. Tell myself and the audience a little bit more about yourself and your background and your journey.
Oh, gosh. Okay, so yeah, I'm Amanda Perry, living in Sheffield. I've been living here about 20 years, which makes me feel really old. I am the founder of Soup Agency, which is a e-commerce growth agency. So we work primarily with founder-led brands to grow their e-commerce revenue, which has been a great place to be over the last 15, 16 months through lockdown, because everyone was shopping online and is getting slightly tougher as the world opens up. So it's an interesting space to be in. I also have the Ecom Growth Hub, which is our small business platform where we teach people who might not be in a position to use an agency or just want to keep it in-house, teach them how to do this stuff themselves. In terms of my journey, I mean, God, I've been in business for 15 years. I started off in a food business, which was brick and mortar. I had 7 shops, 70 staff. We were turning over £1 million a year on cupcakes, and it was a brilliant business and did really, really well. And then it kind of didn't, and it ended up with me going into bankruptcy, which is not what anyone plans when they start a cupcake business, any business, let alone like a pink and kind of pretty cupcake business. So that was a really kind of defining business, defining life, defining moment for me. And everything from there on was about really knowing what I wanted to do and how I wanted to do it. And that's really kind of shaped where I am today, where I'm in an amazing position where I can help other people, you know, realise their, improve their life through growing their sales.
It sounds amazing. And obviously the work you did, and obviously you gave us a little bit of taster there, but how did you like first start in the entrepreneurial world? How did you, what thoughts were going through your head? What made you really kind of like go for it?
Yeah, it's an interesting question because people ask me this a lot, like when's the right time and how do you, like what's the magic equation? And I don't think there is any, you know, any business advisor will say, well, work out your break even, what do you need to cover your bills? And you know, that's kind of the money you need to make. The day that I quit my full-time job to pursue my cake business was the day, it was 2017, it was the day that they were queuing up around the block at Northern Rock to get their money back out. And I'd made my decision, I'd decided what I was going to do. And that day, I was like, am I doing the right thing here? This is my, we're just about to go into the biggest recession that we've ever been in. But actually what I found, and this was reflected a lot of the time in interviews and press and conversations and stuff, was that it was the perfect time, because although people weren't going out necessarily spending a huge amount on, you know, experiences or luxury goods, they were buying, it was, I remember at the time it was called the lipstick theory. And it was this kind of theory that people were buying lipsticks and like £5-10 things, you know. And so my business with kind of £2.50 cupcakes did really, really well, like really well. It was great. And so the thing that made me make that decision when everything around me was telling me not to, it's kind of hard to quantify that, except I just knew it was the right thing to do. And I guess I was lucky in some ways in that I didn't have kids, or I had a mortgage, but I didn't have kids or dependents, or I had a good job, but it wasn't like, you know, a huge, huge salary to replace. And I had kind of built the business up alongside it to get to a point where I was confident enough that it could work. So yeah, that's how I got into it. In terms of how other people, like what lessons I could give other people, it's a feeling, isn't it? Which is kind of hard to teach or tell people what that feeling is. But it's that's how I started my journey.
And talking of lessons, like, what would you say some of the biggest lessons that you've kind of personally learned so far?
To be grateful for what you have and the journey that you've been on, whether it's been good or bad, because nothing's wasted and everything kind of leads you to where you're meant to be. To be humble, because the people that you are rude to on the way up, you'll definitely meet on the way back down. And to kind of, I guess when I look back to my first business, to kind of not believe the hype, like not believe the hype around you. There was a lot of attention and buzz and stuff around my first business, and I kind of got carried away with that, and that's what led me to open so many shops and grow so fast, and that was definitely the downfall. So just to kind of keep your feet on the ground, I think, is really important.
And I mean, you've kind of like touched on this, and I know you openly talk about it, but you know, you have been through some things that haven't worked out, and I don't like the word failure, but I know that like you have used that. But what do you kind of do when it starts to go wrong? How did you feel? How did you react? Like, yeah, what happened?
I mean, it's hard to kind of put it into a sentence, really, when your whole world's just crashing around you and your identity's caught up in that, and your family are caught up in that, and your friends, and there's money and this so much complexity around it. Yeah, it's kind of hard to put that into a sentence. But in terms of failure, I think something really interesting that I've been reflecting on and thinking about a lot since I've been, I'm using air quotes here, but successful again, and you know, the businesses are working, is that we say that we celebrate failure as a country, as a world, as a kind of Western world. We say that we celebrate failure, but we actually only celebrate it once you've made it again. You know, when you're in that kind of messy middle bit, people don't really want to know. Like, no one was asking me to go on a podcast then. No one was asking me for my story then. Or, you know, it's, we want that full circle. We want the kind of success bit at the end. Otherwise, that middle bit doesn't really make sense. And so I think the kind of rhetoric around failure is kind of lip service in a way, I think, because it's just not true. We do celebrate failure, but only once you've made it. And when you really need that support and celebration is when you're in there and you know you want people to be able to tell you it's going to be okay. And I remember desperately kind of googling people who'd, I remember having this real strong sense of, I'd read about people who'd been through bankruptcy and kind of businessmen and successful entrepreneurs and, you know, saying that it's part of the journey. But I really wanted to hear from someone who had just accidentally, it felt like it had just happened to me. And that's not to say I didn't have a part to play in it at all, but I remember desperately kind of googling to see if there was any stories out there of people that had been through the same thing. And it's really not talked about very much, which is why I tried to talk about it, because every time I do, I get so many messages from people that are in a similar or potentially similar position that just are also searching to find that story. So, you know, it helps. And if I can help someone, then I'm not going to say it was worth it, but it's, it takes a bit of the pain away.
The silver cloud. Did you, when you were going through that yourself, and obviously like it was a tough time. And did you ever like look on the positive side whilst you're in it? Did you ever think, you know, well, at least I did this and it taught me this and this and this? Or is it only afterwards and when you've come out the other side that then you can have that sort of mindset towards the situation?
I think whenever you're, I can obviously only speak about my situation, but I'm guessing that anyone who is faced with bankruptcy, the situation that you're currently in. So I remember at the time, the idea of going bankrupt was the kind of, it sounded like heaven, then it didn't sound like heaven, but the situation I was in was hell. It was awful. I was trying everything I could to kind of keep this business going while the wheels were falling off. And, you know, I was thinking, oh, it's fine because I can move this to there. And we'd grown so fast and it was chaotic. And so the idea of going bankrupt, even though it's you know, kind of follows you around for the rest of your life, it seemed like a positive thing for me to do. So the action of it and the decision to go there was a huge relief. But the process of going through it and the fallout from it and the local press and the, you know, everything else around it was horrific and an awful experience. So, yeah, I don't know about other people's experience, but for me it was complex. There was real positives and negatives, and I think it really affected my mental health. And I think it was a long time before I could really reflect on it and take any actual positives from it other than the fact that I wasn't in this situation anymore.
Yeah. I know it's all in like hindsight, and I know that that's obviously what you've just been saying, but it's obviously amazing to see what you have done since. And like you say, you want to kind of help other people, which is amazing in itself. Does it put you off? Like, obviously you have gone on to more amazing things, but yeah, when you're in that situation, do you think, right, that's it, I'm not doing it again?
No. Well, yeah, I'm sure some people do. My mum and dad were very keen for that to happen. They were saying, do you think now's the time? Maybe go and look for a job. But, you know, every entrepreneur will say this, but I'm completely unemployable. Like, I'm not employable. Even when I had jobs, I was an absolute nightmare because I'd just make my own rules up. And, you know, so for me, it was never a case of, shall I go and get a job? But what it was a case of was saying, these are the bits that once the dust had settled, and it took a long time, but it was a case of saying, these are the bits that I really loved. These are the bits I loved and was good at. These are the bits I hated and was bad at. These are the bits I want to kind of take with me. And these are the things I never want to do again, like having, you know, multiple premises and the ops kind of demands around that. So that, yeah, that was the process for me. It was less about I'm not doing this again, I'm going to go and get a job. And it was more about, I will do this again, but I'll do it in a really different way. That I think we all say about, you know, we've learned our lesson, but when you go through something like that, you really have to make sure you learn a lesson. Otherwise, you know, what's the point? So that really shaped the kind of filters that I put my decisions through in terms of what I was going to do next.
Thinking of starting a business or run a business currently? Well, check out the top 50 podcasts for entrepreneurialism, Success is in the Mind, available on Apple Podcasts, your smart speaker, or wherever you get your podcasts from. Hear from entrepreneurs who are currently forging their way ahead and making their ideal a reality. From startups to billion-pound enterprises, host Oliver Bruce speaks weekly to inspiring entrepreneurs. You seem like quite a positive person in general. Is this kind of a fair statement to make?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah, it definitely is now. There was a time when I absolutely wasn't, and it took me a while and some kind of coaching and real self-development and personal development to realise ways that I was sabotaging myself and the kind of guilt that I'd carried from the business and the bankruptcy and the ways I was keeping myself there. I worked with a lot of coaches and a amazing money mindset coach, and you know, coaches can get a bit of a bad rap, but I had some brilliant experiences, and it's really, really shaped the way that I think now and the way that I behave and the way that I like other people to behave around me. You know, I think it shapes the people that you want to spend your time with, doesn't it?
Yeah, 100%. And like you will have that effect on people as well. So you're like, it will rub off on other people. And obviously, like you're saying, you want to help people, that it has an influence on them. Like, yeah.
Yeah, no, it definitely does. We're going through like e-commerce in general is going through a really tough time at the moment with coming out of lockdown and lots of updates online in terms of marketing. And it's kind of a bit of Brexit and it's a bit of an attack from all sides. And we were in work yesterday and I said, I was driving into work in the morning. I was like, I'm so grateful for my life. And I'm so grateful. I was like desperately trying to think, you know, I'm so grateful for a car to drive to work in. And I was like really trying to be positive and, you know, get through this kind of really, really difficult time at the moment. So you have to force yourself, don't you? You have to stay in that mindset.
Definitely. I want to obviously talk more about Soup and the Hub in general, but one more just kind of generalised business question from your personal journey, not necessarily talking about like what happens when things go wrong, but what have you found personally have been some of the biggest challenges when starting a business?
I mean, it depends on what business we're talking about. I guess the general challenges are around finance and support. I think maybe it'd be easier for me to talk about the biggest like mistakes I see. Like I coach a lot of small businesses, so the biggest mistakes that I see people making are not getting support or not. I think that really comes down to people. There's a phrase that I love that's, you can do anything but not everything. And I think people really try and do everything, and they focus on the cost of hiring or the cost of using a VA as opposed to the opportunity cost of using one, you know? So yeah, maybe it is £10 an hour, you know, £20 an hour, £30 an hour, but how much can you earn in an hour by not doing that job that you hate and that drains you of your energy and you makes you miserable and, you know, takes all that creativity away from you? So I think that's one of my biggest kind of frustrations, I suppose, because a lot of people, and I understand why, but a lot of people are so entrenched in every area of their business that they don't have that ability to step out and look at the bigger picture. Funding is always an issue, especially amongst women. It's a massive issue. And I would say that. I mean, big thinking is definitely an issue in, I hate to say it, but women again. But then a lot of the conversations I have are around, do you have to think big? You know, if you're someone who you've started a business because you were due to go back on maternity and you decided you didn't want to and that's not the life you want to spend time with your young children, and you are that's why you have the business. You're not Alan Sugar, you know, you just want to replace a wage and have flexibility around the kids. Don't beat yourself up thinking that you should be kind of having these huge dreams and thinking big, when actually it's perfectly fine to have a shop on Etsy or, you know, replace your salary but on your own terms. So I think that's, you know, I'm saying one of my frustrations is that people don't think big enough, but then also that people don't realise it's okay not to think big. You know, I guess it's about understanding what works for you right now.
Yeah, and it's different for everyone, like you said. And I know you touched on there that sometimes it can be a challenge for women. How have you found being a female founder, starting a business? Do you think anyone looked at you differently because you were a female, or you necessarily had any challenges that your male counterparts wouldn't have had? Or
no, I honestly don't. I think I am very aware of the challenges that women face in business, and I'm very aware that you know, we are at a statistical disadvantage, and that, you know, all the figures around that. Me personally, I haven't had to go for funding, so I haven't faced any of the issues that I know exist around that. And no, I don't think I have. I think there's been a couple of situations where I've dealt with male clients who have spoken to me in a way or treated me in a way that I know they wouldn't have treated a man. And that's the only example I can give, really, where I've kind of, it's been a conversation where I've said, he would never have said that if I was a man. But that for me is, you know, there's huge advantages as well, aren't there, in terms of creativity and flexibility. I think for the team, you know, being a female founder and bringing some of that female kind of energy to the business of kindness and flexibility and heart, rather than it just being the black and white bottom line and profit. And, you know, we mix the two in a very productive and effective way.
Yeah, definitely. And I think it's nice to have combinations, different people and, yeah, personalities, like you say. Let's talk more about your businesses. So obviously Soup and The Hub. Tell me about some of the work that you guys do there. Where did the idea come from it? How did you start these?
So when I went through my bankruptcy, and I mentioned earlier, when I came out of it, I was looking at what were the things that I really loved and didn't love so much. And the output of that was a baking kit subscription company. And I created this company, and I really enjoyed it and grew it quite quickly and effectively by teaching myself digital marketing tactics. And the online world, subscription world, is quite small, so people were kind of, you know, seeing that it was growing and thinking, oh, how's she doing that? And anyway, the whole thing kind of evolved to the point where I was getting a lot of people asking me, and I was working with people, and I thought, why am I kind of had that realization again of I'm really not enjoying this product business and having this thing that we were physically making and packing these boxes. What I really enjoy is helping people and seeing them grow and them flourish. And it really suited my skill set. I'm not an ops person. I'm not a kind of detail person in that sense. So this consultancy and service really suited my personality. So that is how Soup came about, really. I decided to sell. So I had two e-commerce businesses by that time. So in total, I've sold three businesses. I sold those two. And then I just started growing my client base, and it went from consultancy to delivering service. And then really quickly into a kind of full agency service. And then The Hub was just a really natural byproduct of that. Of I was doing some coaching and some courses, and it just really naturally turned into a membership where we could support the people who, you know, didn't want full agency support and weren't necessarily looking to scale from, you know, 20k months to 100k months. They were happy with the smaller revenues, but they just wanted to learn more about doing it for themselves.
Oh, it's incredible. And like what you've done and how you're helping businesses, it's so amazing to hear. And you have like so much on yourself, and you've been through so much. How do you kind of work the home life work balance? That was such a long-winded way of saying that, but yeah, how do you cope? How do you manage it all?
Yeah, it's really interesting, because I've been speaking a lot about recently about how outdated the kind of whole concept of the work-life balance is, where, you know, we were in the agency world that I'm in, it's really common for people still to kind of be at their desks at, you know, 8, 9, even 10 o'clock at night, like really common. And we don't do that. I don't allow that. We're out of here by 5, half 5, maybe 6 at the latest. And so looking at the kind of work-life balance, which is this zero-sum game of you're either in work or you're enjoying your life. For me, it's really about the work. I talk about the work-life blend. And that's a much healthier approach, where you're integrating your work and your life. And it's that kind of filter of, A, am I doing work that I love? Am I happy at my job, or am I kind of miserable 9 to 5 and then happy 5 to 9? And B, how am I kind of integrating it so it works for my life? So, you know, it might look like a few hours of work in the morning and then a couple of hours, I don't know, on the school run or whatever that is. And then making those times work for you. So for me personally, it changes depending on what's going on. And right now there's a lot of work. I haven't got a very healthy blend right now, but it's a very temporary thing. While we're supporting clients through quite a difficult time. But generally, I have a really healthy balance, you know. I'm very lucky to have an amazing team, and none of us are that kind of, we're all incredibly driven. We take our work really, really seriously. But if we've got work to finish, it's much better to go home, feed the kids, do bedtime, and then do an hour finishing off rather than being in the office. I don't want that for anyone, you know. So, yeah, I guess I lead with an understanding of making sure that your work and your life do blend. And that comes into everything. That'll come into a review where if I don't think someone's happy in their role here, I'll have that discussion with them, because I genuinely believe that we have one life and we spend so much time at work, you should be happy. So maybe that looks like changing their role slightly, or looking at changing their hours, or maybe it looks like, you know, looking at other roles with them externally. That's actually never happened, but we've had the conversations and we've definitely moved people around based on that. So, yeah, I think the blend is a much healthier approach to this kind of idea of you're either at work or having fun.
I completely agree. And I've never heard the word kind of like work-life blend before, but yeah, I completely agree and I can see that. Would you say though that there is sometimes times when you should be switching off and you shouldn't blend them? So for example, I know a lot of founders are always asked, like, when you go on holiday, do you switch off or do you take your phone and do you check your emails? How is that for you? Do you still have that blend, or are there certain times where you're like, no, like, this is me time, I am going to completely switch off?
Yeah, 100%. And I think the blend isn't about being on all the time. The blend is just about making it work for you. So having, you know, you've still got time to switch off, but it's not that you're either at work. It's not that kind of on-off switch of at work and miserable or at home and enjoying your life. So I'm going to kind of put a caveat on this and say that I am really lucky to have a brilliant team, and definitely kind of privileged in the sense that I am in a position now to completely switch off when I go away. We're never away from our phones, are we? Let's face it, you know, we're never, our work and our life is so blended, you know. On I'm always on Instagram, and that's kind of work to me as well. So yes, I switch off completely. I don't have emails on my phone. I never do. I've taken those off completely. If I'm going on holiday, I will generally not take my laptop with me. And that is because I've got to a point now where I have a team that I'll get a daily update if there's something that I need to know. And if I don't hear anything, I know that everything's fine. It's taken me a long time to get there, and there's definitely been points, and I know that people will be listening to this thinking, I can never imagine that happening, but there's definitely been points when I haven't been able to do that. And I think in those times, I guess it really is about the blend then. It's about making it work for you. So does that look like I'm going to do half an hour every morning, and then I'm away on holiday and I've got the rest of the day to myself? You know, I think the worst thing, I've been hearing about these workations where people are going away and they're only taking half the time as leave, and I personally don't agree with that. We need time away, we need to switch off.
And how do you think COVID has affected this work life blend? Like, I know the balance has been affected, but I've personally found that with obviously all we've been able to do is work, especially when we were on these full-on lockdowns. You didn't have that Friday night at the pub with your friends, or that Saturday night meal out in the town with the girls. So you didn't have anything else in your life except work. So it was really hard to find kind of enjoyment. Not that work was awful and it was miserable, but it was like, do you know what I mean? There was nothing else in life to look forward to. So yeah, how did you find COVID and your business, and how do you think it's affected that blend?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, definitely. It definitely affected it, didn't it? And I think that's, you know, we saw people that kind of work day was really creeping out, wasn't it? Where people were like, well, I've got nothing else to do. But, you know, that doesn't mean that you have to be working. I think there were so many situations. And again, I'm so privileged to have, you know, we've got a small garden and space, but at the same time we are kind of living areas open plan. So me and my husband were just kind of in this one area by ourselves, and I love the guy, but you know, it's a lot, isn't it? Like, it's a lot to kind of cope with. And again, I say this knowing that I'm incredibly privileged to have that space, but it did get really tricky, didn't it? And I think we were really pleased to be able to come back to the office. In terms of, yeah, I think there was a lot of content going out around be careful to not let your workday creep until 10, 11 o'clock. And I think people were kind of taking responsibility for it, weren't they? I think the second lockdown, I remember being at home and I was being really careful, the third lockdown rather, this kind of winter. And I remember going out one day and I was like, is this a joke? Is everyone else, am I the only one that's staying in? Because everywhere, it was so busy out. It wasn't like the first lockdown at all. And so I think people were kind of managing that themselves, weren't they? And I guess that's, you know, that's the conversation we've had with the team this week. We've been trying to transition back into the office, and you know, it's everyone's, we're all adults and we all have to take responsibility for our own kind of health and safety in terms of keeping distant, and we've there's plenty of room for us to distance, and if you don't feel comfortable being here then that's fine too. You know, I think it's been a real test of our autonomy and agency over ourselves, hasn't it?
Yeah, well, everyone's been through the same, haven't they? So yeah, it was in the same boat. Finally, what kind of is next, you know, for Amanda Perry, for Sue, for the Hub? Yeah, what does the future hold?
We are looking at, well, we're just about to go through a huge office move, actually. So that's the next kind of big thing that's coming up for us. Q3, so over the summer, is always a pretty tough time in e-com, and I think it's going to be really, really difficult this year. So it's kind of all hands on deck and just getting our clients through that time. I think it's going to be, small business has had such a rough ride over the last couple of months, well, the last year really, with Brexit, COVID restrictions, the kind of change in decisions. And although e-com's seen such huge growth, everything around it is just so difficult. All the Brexit regulations have made it really, really difficult for businesses to keep up with. So that's our priority right now. I'm looking forward to like events and stuff opening back up so I can get out speaking and doing panels and stuff again. I think that'll be a really like different experience. Everyone will be so excited to do face-to-face stuff. Yeah, but more of the same, just growth, helping our clients, expanding our services to be able to really offer a solid pack. I think we've really focused on paid ads and Facebook ads specifically, and one thing that's really clear is you just can't rely on any one platform anymore, so we've got a much more full service offering to come. Yeah,
definitely. Well, I'm excited to see it all. Watch this space. Good luck with the office move.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Well, Amanda, it's been such a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for your honesty. Like, it's been such a pleasure learning about you and your journey and your life and all the businesses that you've been through, and thank you for all the amazing work you do. So it's been a pleasure. No, thank you very much.
Brilliant. Take care. Thank you.
Serial Entrepreneur.